You're listening to Family Talk, the radio broadcasting division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I am that James Dobson, and I'm so pleased that you've joined us today.
Well, welcome to Family Talk, the broadcast ministry of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and during the next half hour, you're going to hear part two of a powerful presentation from Dr. William Lyle, the pro-life doc, discussing what it means to be pro-life in 2025. Now, Dr. Dobson and Dr. Lyle have a long-standing friendship, and ever since they first met, Dr. Lyle has always been welcome here in the Family Talk studios to talk about how modern medicine is treating our tiniest patients through groundbreaking surgeries performed right in the womb. Today here on the broadcast, Dr. Lyle will take us deeper into the incredible world of fetal medicine. He'll also address one of the most pressing issues facing our nation right now, and that is the rise of chemical abortions. Now, what we're about to hear is definitely not suitable for young children, so if you're listening to terrestrial radio in the car, you'll want to make sure that you turn off the radio right now and go to drjamesdobson.org or the JDFI app, where you can hear part one and part two of Dr. Lyle's presentations in their entirety. Now, to begin today's broadcast, Dr. Lyle opens up by explaining how doctors at Boston's Children's Hospital are treating dangerous brain conditions while infants are still in the womb. He reminds us that medical advances aren't just saving lives, they're revealing the profound dignity and worth of every human being from the moment of conception. So let's listen in right now to Dr. Bill Lyle on this special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
So the doctors at Boston Children's Hospital neurosurgeon says, that's what we're going to do. We're going to fix this baby. Mom has a little bit of anesthesia, and then they will use ultrasound guidance to take a needle, and they're going to put it through the skin, through the wall of the uterus, and they're going to put it right into the back of the baby's skull. The brain has no pain fibers. With brain surgery, we don't even give the mom specific anesthesia. They guide that needle into the brain itself, go right up to this abnormal connection, and Donald Trump style, they're going to build the wall right there. They're going to build the wall, and they're going to block the abnormal high-pressure blood from going over to the vein. So they put a vascular coil on the inside, not enough wall. Let's add a second coil, not enough wall. Add a third coil, not enough wall. Fourth coil, they had enough wall, and they blocked off that abnormal connection. Once the high-pressure blood was no longer passing over to the low-pressure vein, they were done. They removed the needle, let the mom continue to be on the gestation list, and then there's baby. In honor of Colorado, they named that baby Denver. So there's baby Denver. Baby Denver had brain surgery while baby Denver was on the inside. So we can do brain surgery for a baby in the womb. Is that a patient? Absolutely. And a patient is a person, no matter how small. Well, who was impressed with this news? I was. Who else was impressed? Dr. Sanjay Gupta was impressed. Dr. Sanjay Gupta, you know, he's a neurosurgeon. He's a reporter. And he works for the Christian News Network, CNN. Sorry, Catholic News Network was CNN. Conservative News Network, no. But he's a gifted neurosurgeon. He heard about this. And I've been preaching since 1999 that when I have a pregnant patient, I have two patients that are in my office. I've delivered 5,000 babies, I've delivered triplets, and I've delivered quadruplets. Every time that mama came into the office, I had five patients waddling on in there on the inside. Well, guess what Sanjay Gupta says? Does he agree with Bill Lyle? I mean, he's a gifted neurosurgeon. He's on CNN. I want you to listen to the words that Sanjay Gupta said when he interviewed the doctor about this amazing.
In utero surgery also means they had to take two patients to the operating room.
Wait a second. Patients have rights. Does Sanjay Gupta agree with me? Let's do it one more time.
In utero surgery also means they had to take two patients to the operating room instead of one. And
two
they
patients.
Had to then very carefully.
Patients have rights. What's the definition of a patient? Y'all are in medical school. A patient is a person receiving medical treatment. Have I shown you multiple ways that we are providing medical treatments for these babies on the inside? Not for the moms, but for the babies. Absolutely. So if they are a patient, they are a person. And guess what? If they are a healthcare patient, they have the right to safety, kindness, and courtesy. When we are aborting babies up to term that are patients on the inside of the womb, is that kind? Is that courteous? Is that providing safety for these babies? Absolutely not. A patient is a person, no matter how small, and these patients have rights. Your fetal care center up in Denver is amazing, but I want you to look at what that word is. Do they may say anything about the mom in that ad for that they have? No, they don't even use the term maternal fetal specialist. They just say, we are a fetal care center. They're one of the top 10 centers of this kind in the country. Look at this phrase. A pregnancy center could steal this phrase. It says, we are advancing treatments to save lives and lifetimes. They recognize that they are treating the babies in the womb as patients. They are saving their lives and they are improving their quality of life for the rest of their lives. In fact, look at this. From the heart conditions from that same fetal care center. We care for you and your baby before birth, and even through every step of your journey into adulthood. This is not a blob of tissue. This is a patient of theirs in the womb. And if you had a cardiac condition, they will follow you continually into adulthood. So you are their patient in the womb, and you are their patient while you're on the outside. Yet, despite the amazing advances in how we treat babies in the womb, y'all, we had over 111,000 people die of drug overdoses. But y'all don't have, this is Colorado. Rocky Mountain High and all that other stuff. Y'all don't have any problems with drug overdoses, here in the state of Colorado, right? Y'all had over 2,000 people, almost 2,000 people die here in Colorado from drug overdoses. Did everybody in Colorado who made a decision about narcotics, a bad decision, die? No. Because you have a miracle drug called Narcan, the antidote. It's in cops, it's in churches, it is in malls, that when somebody's made a bad decision, you have the antidote. It even comes in a nasal spray. You can actually go to Amazon right now and they'll have have it sent to you without a prescription, and it'll be in your house in 2 days if you have Prime. But we have another threat, and that is the abortion pill. The abortion pill blocks something very precious for any developing pregnancy, and that is the hormone progesterone. And this is very different from the morning after pill. They're both evil. The abortion pill will kill a baby in the womb 98% of the time, up to 10 weeks gestation. Most of the pregnancies we do for a new OB patient are maybe 6, 7, 8 weeks. This is 10 weeks gestation. When it comes to the abortion pill, how does it work? Well, 63% of all abortions are now performed with the abortion pill. So it is available mail order. It's available, without even seeing a doctor or getting an ultrasound. It works by blocking this hormone progesterone. Well, you're in medical school, what is progesterone? Get a big word, break it down to a lot of little pieces. Progesterone is the progestational steroid hormone. This is the hormone that says, all right, I'm the coach of this football team. We have a new job, and this job is to keep this pregnancy going. Progesterone will keep a pregnancy going, prevent the mom from having a menstrual cycle, divert more nutrition and blood flow to the uterus to keep the baby alive. When it comes to the abortion pill, it tries to block the hormone progesterone. All of a sudden the body's going, yay, we're pregnant. Then you take the abortion pill and that signal of progesterone, it goes away. And the body's like, I could have sworn we were pregnant. Maybe we're not pregnant anymore. Well, if we're not pregnant, we don't need to support this pregnancy. Well, when it comes to progesterone, pregnancy happens, progesterone levels go up. Make a bad decision, take the abortion pill, progesterone levels go down. Wouldn't it be nice if we had a way to increase those progesterone levels again? Hasn't somebody invented a drug which brings those levels up? Yes. And that is called micronized progesterone or Prometrum. We use it all the time in normal obstetrics. We use it to prevent preterm labor. We use it to support pregnancies early. Anybody who has had IVF done, you have been given the same progesterone to keep that pregnancy going. We give progesterone to the mom when she requests it. Progesterone levels go up and we save the baby's life. Do moms have regrets? Sure. They go into the abortion clinic, think nobody loves me, nobody cares for me. I don't know what else to do. That's where your pregnancy center comes in and says, we will help take care of you. We will meet your needs. We will help you get an education and we will help meet the needs of you and your baby. Are there risks when the mom takes the pill? Sure. 98% of the time, the baby's gonna die. What are the other risks to the moms? Well, 1% statistically of all pregnancies are a tubal pregnancy, where just a pregnancy test doesn't tell you where the pregnancy is. 1% of the time, it's going to be ectopic or in the tube. When a mom takes the abortion pill, she's told, you're going to have bleeding, cramping, and pain. What are the symptoms if she's in that 1% where it's an ectopic pregnancy? Bleeding, cramping, and pain. How is a young girl who has an ectopic pregnancy who is told, you can expect bleeding, cramping, and pain, how is she supposed to know the difference? We are having moms dying from ectopic pregnancies after they have taken the abortion pill. In fact, this is the tombstone of Amber Nicole Thurman. You hear in the news all the time this past couple of weeks that Amber is dead because of heartbeat loss. Amber was pregnant with twins, 9 weeks. She couldn't get an abortion there in the state of Georgia, so she traveled to North Carolina. They weren't able to do a surgical abortion because they didn't have enough time, so they gave her the abortion pill. 5 days later after, they never even called to see how Amber was doing, Amber went to an emergency room. Amber still had the products of conception there on the inside, but there were no heartbeats on either of these twins on the inside. The physician did not manage her well. 20 hours after she went to the emergency room seeking help, Amber was septic, Amber was infected. They opened Amber up to try to fix her. Not only was her uterus completely infected, but she had dead bowel. Amber died on the OR. So they are using this sad story of Amber dying, and they are blaming the heartbeat law in Georgia. How do you blame a heartbeat law when there is no heartbeat of either baby on the inside? They can't win on the facts, so they will win with lies and deception. And this is the truth. And sad, this was medical malpractice, not because of a heartbeat law. Do moms have regrets? Yeah. I mean, have I done stupid stuff that I look back and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have done that? Yeah. Have I said things in front of my wife that I said, that was stupid, stupid, stupid? Guys, have you ever said something stupid? Yeah, welcome to my club. I do it all the time. We all have regrets, but moms have regrets too. And when moms have regrets, just like somebody who took fentanyl and they're overdosed and they have a regret, we have an antidote for fentanyl, but we also have the antidote when it comes to taking the abortion pill. We have a window of about 72 hours where we can give the progesterone and safely reverse the effect of the abortion pill. We've trained over 500 doctors and we have successfully documented that we have successfully reversed the effect of the abortion pill over 5,000 times here in the United States. This was my first successful reversal. And delivering a baby is really cool, but delivering a baby had a 98% chance of dying. That's really cool. But what happened to that baby? Did we just sort of say, hey, we had a baby? Guess what? Grandma sent me a picture. Grandma sent me a picture, and that same little baby is now in kindergarten in Mobile, Alabama, wearing her pink and purple little outfit. What did mom name this baby? Journey. Because this baby had a journey to get to where she is. So this is a more recent abortion pill reversal. Mom and dad were not married. She took the abortion pill because she was scared. She had immediate regrets. We successfully reversed it. She then told the dad the whole story. She thought he was going to leave him. He was thrilled. He proposed. They got married. They had baby William. What's my first name? William. They named the baby after me. What is the name? Any other Williams in here? Bills? Williams? All right. What does the name William mean? The bold protector. As a guy, it is your God-given duty to be a protector and a defender of life. And that's why this is not just a women's issue. This is a men's issue. This is your God-given role. This is baby William. This is baby William 3 years later. Mom brought baby William into the office. Well, why did she bring him into the office? Because the family is pregnant again and they're going to have a baby, a little girl, in the next week or two. We've restored that whole family because of a lot of prayer, a lot of dedication, a little bit of medicine, and this family has had experience. Any pastors here? I got a story for you for Sunday. I don't know what you were preaching about, but you're going to be talking about redemption, okay? Because picture this baby. Baby is walking on this journey and happy as can be. Mom makes a bad decision. And now this baby is on a path where 98% of the time, this baby is going to die. Mom has a change in her mind, change in her heart. What do? We buy, my wife and I, we pay for all the reversals. It cost us $109. We buy back the life of that baby and we then deliver that baby. We are redeeming that baby because that's what redemption is. It's buying back. 100% of us, not just 98%, 100% of you and 100% of me and my wife were on the similar path. We had 100% chance of walking and being eternally separated from God. Are we bought back and redeemed with $109 worth of Prometrium? No, something much more precious. We are bought back and redeemed with the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the story of the gospel. So is this just a question of, is it just a choice? I'm pro-choice, I'm pro this. Is it just a choice, or are we engaged in the greatest spiritual battle we've had in the United States in over a century? This is a spiritual battle. Genesis 1:26. If you're going to engage in a spiritual battle, you need to be engaged in faithful prayer and using scripture, because this is the word of God, and this is what's going to get us to correct this issue. Genesis 1:26, and God said, after he created the whole universe in some special time on earth, God said, let us make man in our image. Well, are you creating the image of God the day I deliver you? No, because I could have induced you next week or the week before. I could have done a C-section right then and there. You are creating the image of God at the moment of conception. Well, what does that have to do with all this? Why'd you pop up the flag? Anybody see somebody burn the American flag? I mean, you got the Air Force Academy right over there. How do you think burning the American flag over there would go over? Not real well. Well, why does somebody burn the American flag? The American flag is the image that represents the United States. If somebody hates the United States, they want to burn and destroy the image of the United States. What is abortion at its core foundation? It is destruction of the image of God because of a hatred for God. That's why this is a spiritual battle. They want to destroy the image of God, which is that baby creating the image of God at that moment of conception. Let's talk about conception. We're all adults. Ladies, boop, there goes one egg, and that's your contribution. Guys, you are not efficient. You got to come up with like 300 million Michael Phelps. All these little swimmers that just have one job. I want to be the gold medalist. I want to get the gold. I want to get the gold. I want to get to the egg. And they all start swimming. They don't take a left or a right. They don't ask for directions. So half go the wrong way and half go this way. But at that moment of conception, when you've got thousands of them on that egg and they're all trying to be the gold medalist, one gets on the inside. And then the other guy who is right behind us says, man, I didn't get gold, but I'm going for silver. There is no silver medal. There are 300 million losers. You all go home. I've got my gold medalist. That's it. Well, how do you tell the others? You're not getting in. There is no gold. There is no bronze. God took care of that. Just like in Star Trek, if they came out and there's Klingons all over the place, what does Captain Kirk say? He says, shields up. God created a shield that goes up. At that moment of conception, a shield called the zona plus that goes up. It says no mas, nobody else gets in. But what's amazing, there is depolarization of zinc ions, potassium ions, when this shield goes up, and we can see that. This is the moment of conception in mammalian cells. And you see those flashes of light? That is the moment of conception. So when people say, well, we really don't know when life begins. Yes, we do. It's right there at that flash of light. Jesus is the light of the world. That is when life begins. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. What were they doing? They were worshiping other gods, and they were also offering their children as sacrifices. We have now sacrificed 64 million lives here in the United States. Is that doing evil in the sight of the Lord? Absolutely. Psalm 139, we were knit together in our mother's womb. The psalmist realized that he didn't understand about cell differentiating, how you go from one cell to 35 trillion cells standing here. But that kind of design had a designer. Proverbs 6:19, six things the Lord hates. Anybody want to make one of those lists of that six? I don't want to make that list. What's number three? Hands that shed innocent blood. Can you think of anything that defines hands that shed innocent blood more than a physician who is skilled and talented and is aborting babies, especially up to term? By definition, this is hands that shed innocent blood. This was the last abortion clinic in Pensacola. We're a heartbeat state, but guess what? We are now being threatened with a constitutional amendment like you are. They are already looking for licensing so that they can be back in business. Romans 5:8, you love this message. God showed his love for us for this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us all so much. Even though we were sinners, dirty, filthy sinners, God sent his son, lived the perfect life, gave his life for us on the cross, was dead, conquered death, rose again. If we put our trust in him, we can have eternal life out of love because we are sin. I mean, besides me, any sinners in the room? I got four. All right, we got four sinners in here. When did you commit your first sin? Psalm 51:5 says, surely I was sinful at birth. Hey, y'all, I was sinful from the time my mother conceived me. So if we are sinners from the moment of conception with a sin nature, and God sent Jesus to give his life for all sinners, God sacrificed that life for the babies in the womb. And if God loved the babies in the womb that much, that's why we are here tonight, because we should love those babies as much. It is a spiritual battle. 18 to 24% of all the men and women in all the churches across the United States have personally been involved with an abortion. They are hurting. They need healing. Healing comes from forgiveness, and true forgiveness only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. But the wicked cannot rest until they have done what is evil. So we had gone from 24 weeks to 15 weeks to heartbeat. But guess what? We're now facing an amendment to bring it up to any gestational age, just like here in Colorado. And we are fighting against amendment number 4. But the wicked cannot rest. They have a law that allows for abortion at any gestational age. But what if you change the Senate, you change the House, and you change the governor? They can just change the law. That's why they want a constitutional amendment. Because to change it once it's a constitutional amendment, you have to go through this whole process that takes tens of millions of dollars and years. So that's why they are doing that. Can we win? Absolutely. We serve the Almighty God who created the universe. And that is who we are praying for. And that's who we are calling on to help us get through this. What are the tools to win? My job was to give you some new tools. Hopefully there is information that you have that you can share with your friends, your family, and your coworkers of why you came here, and you will remember these stories. But what are these tools? We have science. We have politics, all to defend the lives of babies in the womb. And we have a curriculum for you now. What's the number one tool to win this battle? It's a spiritual battle. The number one tool is going to be prayer, and it's going to be the gospel. When we think about the gospel, the good news of God loving us so much that Jesus gave his life for all of us, what books in the Bible would you think of when you think of the Bible? When you think about the gospel, what books come to mind? The gospel. Yes, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the story that we just talked about, the good news. But is that where the New Testament ends? No, because what's the next book after the gospels? Acts. It's the Acts of the Apostles. That's part of why we are here tonight. This is the time to engage in action, because it wasn't just to hang out of the apostles. It was the action of the apostles. When we combine the power of the gospel with action, that's when we will save the lives of God's preborn. We will bring healing and redemption to tens of millions of men and women. And that's when we will save the United States of America. Someday, here's some medical advice. Y'all are all gonna die, and you're gonna be before Jesus. You might think about your time here on earth. You might think about tonight, and you wanna think back and what I want to hear from my Lord and Savior, I'm looking at him in the eye, is him to look me in the eye and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." God bless you all. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you.
The fight for life isn't just about medical advances. It's a spiritual battle to protect the precious image of God in every unborn child. You're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. And today on the broadcast, we featured a powerful message from Dr. Dobson's good friend, Dr. William Lyle, the pro-life doc. He was discussing protecting life and providing hope through modern medical advances. You know, every life, no matter how small, has immense value and deserves our greatest care and protection. Now, if you missed any portion of today's broadcast, or if you'd like to share this important message with others, you can do so one of two ways. First, go to drjamesdobson.org/family talk, and you can share part one and part two of this program through our website. Also, you can stay connected with Dr. Dobson and Family Talk through our official James Dobson Family Institute mobile app. It's available on Apple as well as Android devices. And once you're on the James Dobson Family Institute app, you can also share the program material from there. Now, here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, we are passionately committed to defending the sanctity of human life and supporting families through every season. These daily broadcasts are made possible through friends like you who share our passion for protecting life and promoting biblical truth. Your support helps us continue reaching families with the truth that every human life is precious and worth saving. To make a secure donation online, simply go to drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. You can also give a gift over the phone when you call 877-732-6825. Or if you prefer, send your tax-deductible donation through the U.S. Postal Service. Our ministry mailing address is Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, P.O. Box 39000, Colorado Springs, Colorado, the zip code 80949. And keep in mind, today's the final day we're making this offer available, a special opportunity for you to get a copy of Dr. Dobson's book, Nightlight for Couples, written by Dr. James Dobson and his wife, Shirley. Whether you're newly married or celebrating a milestone anniversary like your silver or golden anniversary, regular quiet moments with your mate are imperative. And that's why you will benefit from this book by Dr. James Dobson and his wife, Shirley Dobson, called Nightlight for Couples. Contact us today here at 877-732-6825 or go online to drjamesdobson.org. We'll be happy to send you a copy of Nightlight for Couples by Dr. James Dobson and his wife, Shirley, as our thank you for your gift of any amount in support of the ministry of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute today. That's drjamesdobson.org for the book Nightlight for Couples. Well, I'm Roger Marsh, and on behalf of Dr. James Dobson and all of us here at Family Talk, thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, the voice you trust for the family you love.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.